97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox this week. Good morning to you guys. Kim, haven't worked with you in so long. How you been?
I know. I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing good. I've heard rumors about you.
Yeah.
That you're going to have a baby.
I'm about 3.5 weeks out for my due date.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
that is
you.
So fantastic. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
You kept thinking to yourself, oh, why couldn't it just come early today? I don't have to work with that Ryan Recker guy.
I'll tell you what, I enjoy filling in for Mark, but I am glad to have you here because even though this would be a little bit early to go into labor, it's one of those situations where I'm like, okay, it could be any day, any week. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to bed every night like, okay, is this the next day? So you're kind of, I'm entering that phase of the pregnancy. So I'm really glad for a number of reasons to have you here with us this week.
Well, that's good. My wife went in labor early both times. She had high blood pressure. So once it got to a certain point, the doc said, we're just doing this. Mm-hmm. We can't wait any longer. So both came in a little bit early, which was a little bit nice in a way, because when they said, we're just going to do this now, then you don't have the, you know, surprise, it's coming now moment where you have to rush to the hospital like they do in all the movies. None of the movies show high blood pressure, Mom. They always show my water broke, I need to get there now.
They're all dramatic and they make it seem like it's the worst thing ever. We were talking to Nicole Murray last week. I know we're talking to her again at 6:35. And she was saying something about how they say that labor is second most painful to being burned alive. And I'm like, see, that's the problem, is that you have people who you spread stuff like that and it makes it sound like it's not even accurate. Like it can be very intense, but it is not like what they portray in the movies in most cases. It's ridiculous what the way they portray labor. It can be so beautiful and intense, but beautiful at the same time. And anyway, yeah.
You've obviously never been a man and had a cold.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I know. I've seen those are accurate, by the way. Women are out there cleaning and doing everything and they have the flu and the husband has a cold and he's like, I'm out for 3 days.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, we got to take our time. I mean, and I like how I'm looking at the StreamYard now and you put Ethan in the corner, a little tiny Ethan little video Ethan. Box.
That's
the
how they do with me now.
He's doing some thinking.
He's basically a Mystery Science Theater, so he's down where they would sit in the show. All right, let's do the shortlist.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
The only other person I would like to see in 2028 run, and this is going to sound ridiculous probably coming from me, I would love to see Jon Stewart run in 2028. Oh. If we're talking about like a change agent coming from the outside that's really going to shake things up, and somebody that I feel like can speak to, you know, all people.
See, Jon Stewart couldn't even debate Bill O'Reilly, so I don't know how that would go when he's up against someone that is fully trained in debate. Well, let's put it this way. The idea that we're just going to elect entertainers, is Donald Trump a one and done when it comes to entertainers in politics, or is that going to be the new trend? We're going to be looking for the influencer next.
Guys, I think President Trump is frustrated. He's frustrated with Putin and Russia. He wants the war in Ukraine to come to an end. I think the American people are ready for the war in Ukraine to come to an end. And I think Putin right now is not cooperating.
Yeah, I think that's... I was hoping that Iran would be somewhat of a wake-up call for Putin, which is, we're not going to put up with this forever. So you better get on the same page quickly. I was kind of hoping that, and who knows, with these submarines getting into place, maybe that is the wake-up call he needs.
New emails, Mr. President, suggest essentially that Hillary Clinton personally approved the Russia hoax.
With Obama?
With Barack Obama. And my question is she finally going to pay for what she did, or does she get a pass again?
No, I think they should pay a price. It could be the biggest scandal in the history of our country, but it continues onward.
It's a pretty big scandal. You know, if we're going to rank scandals, that one's up there and we're still uncovering it. This is one of those that you hope is flushed out fully and is not pushed to the back burner. This one needs the full daylight.
And the reason it's not going to go away is because it's not a Democrat-driven issue. It's a MAGA-driven issue. And that's why it won't go away. When it leaves the White House briefing room and goes into popular culture, the White House briefing room can't control it.
That's the Jeffrey Epstein backlash. Interesting take from Chris Christie, who said the reason it's not going away because it's a MAGA-driven issue, which is very interesting. I haven't heard much of it lately. It's kind of been simmering down low, and I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon until there's a full answer to it. I don't know if there will be. I think there going to have to be a full answer to it. It's one of those that you're going to have some sort of conclusion to it. You can't leave it open-ended.
Yeah, enough people want to see the list. And, people have talked about how the reason why Trump doesn't want to release the list is because he's on it. Well, I'm not convinced he's on it. I'm sure Trump did some sketchy things in his past. I know he has. But I don't think he's necessarily on the Epstein list. But it is interesting that a liberal, it was like an Obama-appointed judge, is the one who ruled against releasing the list when Trump himself had said, all right, let's go ahead and release what we can.
I look at it and I think there's a few ways to look at this. I think if his name's on the list, it's the way we've seen in the past, which is his name is referenced. So there's been instances where there's depositions and transcripts released and you have the person that is interviewing the victim that they tried to invoke Donald Trump into it, as in, so how many times have you seen Trump on the island? And then the victim would say, oh, I've never seen Trump on the island. But you've certainly heard that Trump was on the island. The victim would say, no, I don't know anyone that knows that. But you've seen him at the airport. No, never saw him at the airport. If you were to just do a quick little control F on the document to find Trump in there, you would say, oh man, Trump's name's in there 30 times. Mm-hmm. But it's other people referencing him, not him partaking in the Epstein Island. Same thing with some of the other transcripts that came later, where they would put out quotes and it would be things like Jeffrey Epstein would say, oh, I'll put him up at Trump's hotel or something like that. So mm-hmm. It's like his namesake in reference to a hotel, not the person Donald Trump
and the
activities associated with Jeffrey Epstein.
Didn't they say he was on the plane? But that doesn't mean that he went to Epstein Island. That doesn't mean that even if he had gone there, that he went there for that purpose. My understanding is he was on the plane, so he'd be on the flight log, but he wouldn't have gone to Epstein Island. And it's funny because you talk about the ways that they've tried to in some way connect him to what happened. And, mm-hmm. They came out with that news of, oh, well, he had written Epstein a birthday card and, oh, he was at their wedding. And like any sort of tie they can come up with to link Epstein with Donald Trump, they've absolutely gone there.
Yeah. So I think you're going to find things like that. When it comes to actual testimony from victims who abuse children, I think it would be pretty easy to put one of those lists together. And, I was reading online some of these different analogies, like, oh, who keeps a list around? Like, pretty much like when there's names that come up in accusations, in the sense that direct accusations from people that say they were abused, then that's a whole different deal than, secondhand accounts of someone that never saw it themselves. Because that's when you can start to leak in things that could be damaging to people that aren't true. But we went from the hypocrisy in the sense that believe all victims to protect until you're proven in a court of law. But I think that totally undercuts the idea that you can't publicly address your accuser, the person you're accusing of committing a pretty terrible crime. And that seems something that most people are against. So that's why I think a lot of people are on board with this list from coming out. And I think eventually we'll see something. I just don't know what that iteration will be. And I don't know if it'll satisfy everyone. It's just one of those things. Yeah. Coming up after the break, I heard you guys had a great conversation with Michael Weitzel. And he's someone that got kicked out of the soccer match not that long ago for wearing a Make America Great Again hat. And apparently you guys broke this story. It's a big international story now.
Yeah, it's gone viral. It really is kind of borderline gone viral.
So this happened, I believe, on Friday with Mark Cox. So we want to play a part of that interview with Michael Weitzel, kind of give you an idea of what happened when he wanted to just go see a friendly soccer match in St. Louis when it became not so friendly because they didn't like the hat he was wearing. We'll have that coming up after the break. I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Mark Cox, 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. And there was a soccer fan here in St. Louis just enjoying a day at the park. Wanted to go out wearing his hat because when you're outdoors, you wear hats. Blocks the sun, makes it easier to look at the field. I get that. So he puts on his Make America Great Again hat, which apparently is enough to warrant you to get kicked out of the St. Louis City Soccer Club's home stadium here, the brand new, beautiful stadium. They built it, and I'm sure all the workers there, I mean, they spent all those years planning, putting it together, getting all the details ready. So one day they can just kick out a dude with a red hat. And it all culminated with this happening. And congratulations to the Mark Cox Morning Show for breaking the story. It's now an international story. And on Friday, you guys talked to Michael Weitzel, and we wanted to play some of that back because we thought it was so good. So let's do that.
So I'm Michael Weitzel. I'm being asked to leave by the police because of Donald Trump.
Hey, I'm a Donald Trump.
Trump, I'm a man.
Yes, yeah. I am. And so I just want all the cops you got to deal with are negative. But they're not political here. They don't want any kind of political.
So those flags over there.
Those are pre-approved. Those flags over there aren't political.
So my question to you guys is, are these rules equally enforced on everybody?
And here's my question.
Right, that's the audio from the Instagram post, the social media post I saw with Mike Weitzel being booted from a St. Louis City soccer game. So there are people two sections away flying pride flags. But those are okay. But he's got a MAGA hat on. He's not bothering anybody. Somebody complained, and they booted him out of the game. He's a season ticket holder, and I've got him on the phone this morning. Mike, thank you for giving me some time this morning.
Yes, Mark. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Great to meet you, and thank you for agreeing to talk about this. I watched the video. You were polite. You're a three-year, correct me if I'm wrong, a three-year season ticket holder with St. Louis City. You wear a Make America Great Again hat to the ball game or to the soccer game, and you get kicked out. Tell us when this happened and how it came down.
So this was last Saturday night at the game. Basically walking into the stadium, didn't hear anything from anybody. Didn't realize there was any problem with my attire. On the way out the door, you know, I have. Unfortunately, only one red hat, and that is a Make America Great Again hat. I didn't think there'd be any issue with wearing that to the game. But with about, 25 minutes left in the game, I was basically told that they'd received a complaint about my hat. At first, they were looking for a sign, which I think is typically, what would be not allowed. But then they realized that it was me wearing a hat. And so they told me I could either hide the hat or take it out to my car or leave were my options. And said, well, there's 25 minutes left in the game. It's a close game, sir. I'm not going to take my hat off for anybody. I live in America, which is the land of the free and the home of the brave, I thought. And, you do what you have to do, sir.
I was going to say, good for you for not compromising your values and just polite. You were very polite about the way that they escorted you out. Was there any sort of a verbal exchange that had happened prior to security approaching you? Were people yelling at you? Had you said anything back to them?
Not really, ma'am. There was a couple people kind of flipping me the bird, maybe jeering at me as I got up to get a drink. I just kind of laughed at it. I thought, wow, these people have really let the political discourse get to them, but there weren't really any exchanges. I didn't have words with anybody. Didn't get into any fights. Just tried to mind my own business and watch a soccer game.
Well, it strikes me, Mike, that and talking to Mike Weitzel, who got booted out of a St. Louis City soccer game last Saturday for wearing a MAGA hat, if you're just joining us here, it strikes me that If there was some sort of an allegation of an incident, the police would have come down and probably cuffed you or frog marched you out of there. That wasn't it at all. They came down and said, first they thought you were holding a sign. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah, so they'd received an email complaint, apparently, mid-game. Someone had taken the time to write a strongly worded email to management, letting them know how offensive and dangerous my speech was. I think there was a little bit of confusion at first with what the problem actually was, but they quickly identified the hat and quickly sent some police officers to escort me out.
Well, I respect how respectful you were to those officers, because obviously they're just doing what they're told. I mean, they're there working seconds when they could be home with their family. The guy seemed very respectful to you, though he did threaten to cuff you if you didn't leave?
Yes, sir. You know, he let me know right away that, you know, he was a Trump supporter. I understand that, you know, he's got rules he has to follow and, you know, that he doesn't make these decisions on who's allowed to stay or go. I thought the police were pretty respectful to me. They weren't really rough with me. Maybe as they could have been. I certainly delayed a little bit to kind of make my point that I wanted to let people know that this is what happens. This is the world we live in right now. And, you know, overall, I think it's hard to see in the video, but if you watch till the very end, you can see me actually give the first police officer in the white shirt, you can see him actually give me a fist bump as he kicks me out. So,
Mike, thank you for giving me a few minutes this morning, and you're a great American. We appreciate you standing up for your rights
to make America great again. I don't know what's offensive about that, but some people think it is.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Oh, boy. Wow. So I think that tells the big part of the story. I'm looking on social media, and I'll tell you, it's still very active. There's a lot of people still tweeting and talking about this right now, but I got to tell you, what a good get, number one. Congratulations on that. That's fantastic. But number two, I'm trying to think of the right word. I don't know if pansy is the right word. What sissy is offended by this hat so much so they felt threatened by the red hat? Like, what's the right word for that person that lodged the complaint?
Pansy.
That's what I was trying to think of.
Well, it is ridiculous because people have been going, you know, off on Twitter about this when I posted it. And they're, you know, because it, apparently it's not as much the rules specifically with Energizer Park here in St. Louis. It's more MLS rules as a whole that say you can't wear anything that would in any way promote a political candidate or a legislative issue. And it's funny because all the liberals are on social media saying, you know, yeah, of course he can't wear a Make America Great Again hat. That insinuates that he's supporting Donald Trump. Well, people are waving pride flags. And of course, the liberals are trying to argue with me that in no way has anything to do with any sort of a legislative issue. Give me a break. It absolutely does. Greg Keller on X, and I'm going to work to confirm this today, he's saying that this video is now being looked at by the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Department of Justice.
Oh, nice.
So we'll see what comes of that.
Is that true?
I would imagine it is, but yeah, I want to look into that today.
Yeah, wow. I hate doing this, Ethan. I can't remember what time you told us we need to be out by because we have a hard out time. It's 28:50. Is that right? 28:30. Okay, thank you. So I feel that if the civil rights, I don't know if his civil rights were necessarily broken. I just see this as terrible customer service. This guy's a season ticket holder, 3 years running. He's trying to support this club. He's trying to support this city. He's enjoying himself. And he's just wearing a red hat. And that is all that he did to warn getting kicked out. So I wonder what happened. Did they have another home game this weekend? I wonder if he tried to come back and wear the hat again, see what would happen.
No, I don't think that they had a home game. I think their next one is the following weekend, but they've said nothing about this. They were asked about it and they have no statement.
Yeah, they're keeping quiet. And this makes them, I think, look really bad. Really, really bad as an organization. And when you're someone like this and you're trying to, you know, be good to the community and you're trying to, you know, try to build these relationships, you're burning bridges when you do things like this. So I think they have to not only address it, but say, maybe we handled this incorrectly. All right. I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Mark Cox. We have Kim on a Whim coming up after the break. 97.1 FM Talk.
Kim on a Whim.
Oh, Alligator Alcatraz is back in the headlines. And you want to know why, Ryan?
I do.
There's a hunger strike going on. They're entering their 10th day, and the detainees there, so the illegals there, are refusing to eat because they say that it's inhumane and dangerous conditions. Have you seen the videos inside? Now, obviously, we haven't been given the grand tour of every single nook and cranny of Alligator Alcatraz, but do you recall when Ron DeSantis took members of the Trump administration, including Trump himself, on a tour of Alligator Alcatraz? The media was invited, and there was actually a reporter at the time, and I don't recall which outlet he was with, but he made some comment about, you know, it's air conditioned in here. It actually feels pretty good. It's probably, he guessed, around 72 degrees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they have to now.
They would, yeah, they would have to. They can't have them, you know, in the middle of swampy Florida when it's 90 degrees out. My point is, yes, are there a bunch of bunk beds stacked in one giant room? And yes, is it separated by, well, people describe it as cages, but are there fences or whatever you want to, gates, whatever you want to call them? Yeah, there are, but they have to do something to make sure that the people can't escape and that it doesn't become chaotic inside the facility. So it's not like they're going to be sitting up there and putting drywall and all these nice, you know what I mean? I don't know really what people expect. It's alligator Alcatraz, as we call it. It's not supposed to be this beautiful resort where you go and, you know, you get massages and all of these things. You're being detained. So I'm a little confused why people are so angry about that. But anyway, there's this one guy, Pedro Hernandez, who is there at Alligator Alcatraz, and he is among those detainees who refuses to eat. And his wife did a story with NBC News, says that she's terrified for his health and worries that he could now die in custody or just that he'll be deported back to Cuba. And I want to play part of this interview for you because it's part of the story, because you hear her speaking in Spanish, then they translate, and then she supposedly recorded part of the conversation that she had with her husband while he has been detained over there. Listen.
My husband was in prison. We make mistakes, but we learn from them and fix things, Damaris Hernandez says. Thursday, she shared Pedro's plea for help from what he describes as deplorable conditions. It's also day 9 with no food. He's on a hunger strike with other detainees. I'm not going to eat another plate of food until they show us respect, Pedro said.
Okay, what does that mean, until they show us some respect? I mean, really, like, I'm not saying that you should be beaten in there. I'm not insinuating that. But I guess I would really love to know what his definition of respect is. You came into our country illegally. Whether you had a green card initially, it expired, you never did anything about it, or you just, like millions of other people, hopped across the border because you felt like you could do so and didn't need to go about it the right way and never took time in the 20 plus years or whatever that you've been here to actually go through the process of becoming a United States citizen. You still did something illegal. I just don't understand all of this.
Here's what they should do. Okay, it's very simple. They should allow them to live the rest of their lives, and we should give them driver's licenses, and we should probably provide their health care and their education for their children, and we should let them vote and be counted in the census so we can have the congressional districts mapped. And we should just let them live the rest of their lives, and then they'll do the jobs that no one else wants to do, and we should all just be quiet about it. Oh, wait a second. That's what the Democrats...
that's what some of them are already trying to do.
That's what they've been trying to do for decades. No, I think that is probably one of the bad ideas, and that's what we've been progressing on for the last couple of decades. I think that knowing that Donald Trump is in his last term, and this is his last couple of years in office, and he has a Republican majority in the Congress, I feel like he understands he has no time to waste. How many times have we said there's no time to waste and politicians waste time? Dude is cranking out the hits right now.
He really
is. He is like the Beatles of politicians. His greatest hits record is just stacking one after another, because he's doing things that no politician would dare to do, because he realizes that I don't got time. There's probably other things. I mean, he had a near-death experience last year with the assassination attempt, and he realizes that life is short, especially when you're, you know, turning 80 and you're getting up there in age. I mean, you're in your 70s. You're not getting any younger. And he looks at this as his last chance to try to set the country in the right direction. And he's doing everything in his absolute power to do that. Mm-hmm. There's something very admirable about that. And I honestly, there's no other politician, I think, in the history of politics that I can think of that has taken this type of approach as fast as he's taking it to try to right things in the right direction, immigration included. He understands that people are going to hate him. I think the approval ratings don't mean that much in some ways, but I think the end game, which is rewriting all of these wrongs that have been over the last couple of decades, these inching in the wrong direction and then taking from the government and trying to like cold turkey quit that. This is just a one of the many things on Donald Trump's list of greatest hits that I think we're going to look back at and say, well done.
And we have to remember that this is what people wanted, that more than half the country voted for him. And on top of that, one of the biggest issues that drove a lot of people to the polls, people who maybe had voted for years, you know, for a Democrat candidate for the very first time voted Republican, specifically because they had concerns about our country's safety, because you had millions of these illegals pouring in across our border, particularly from the southern, but also from the northern. You have fentanyl coming in at crazy levels. Something had to be done about it. So I think that while you do see, you talked about these polling numbers and you see them fluctuating all the time, and you know, oh, they people feel like Trump's gone too far on immigration and they just want this person to da, da, da. You hear all these different opinions about it. It, like you said, it probably doesn't really matter. The only reason I could see it mattering would be when it comes to midterms and when it comes to 2028. Now, obviously, Trump, despite him, you know, saying he'll run again, he obviously can't. He's not going to run again. But maybe it would hurt J.D. Vance. But to me, there's enough time between that election, 2028, that things can change. Yeah. I think that the only concern would be midterms and what kind of impact that could have. But still, I mean, when you look at the number of border crossings and just the number of the latest statistics that we see on a pretty regular basis coming out with Trump the first 6 months since he's been in office, I mean, it's incredible. Like you said, it's just win after win after win.
Yeah, this is, if I were to look at the country as a teenager that's growing up, you have Captain Crunch and donuts for breakfast. Then you have Doritos and fast food burgers for lunch. Then you have pizza and a 2 liter of Mountain Dew for dinner for your entire life for the past, you know, let's say now you're in your 40s and 50s and the doctor says you got diabetes. And where we're at right now is the kid trying broccoli for the first time in his life or a salad for the first time in his life. And there's a lot. No way. I'm not eating that salad. That's terrible. But your body is completely busted down
and
broken. It's what you need. Mm-hmm. It's the medicine that's going to hopefully turn you back around. Forget about RFK Jr. and all that stuff that he's doing, literally, when it comes to the health side. But that's where we're at as a country. You got to reverse this immediately, and you got to eat a salad, kid. And the kid's rejecting it, and that's where our country's at for the people that don't like this. They don't like the salad.
We don't like change. I mean, how many of us reject change at every opportunity? It's hard when we're trying to reverse course on something, right? We've been swimming one direction for years and years and years, and all of a sudden we're trying to turn around and go the other direction. It's growing pains. It's difficult. It's a pruning process. It's not supposed to be easy. What's the saying? Anything that's worth doing in life, it's not going to be a walk in the park. But that's a good thing. This is, like you said, what we need for our country. And so, yeah, maybe it is a little bit hard to see the stories that people want to post in, you know, the news and try to pull at the heartstrings and say, oh, you're so terrible. Look what you're doing. You're ripping this family apart. Well, no, they made that decision years ago to come. In this instance, as it relates to illegal immigration, they made that decision years ago and they put their own family in that position. They have only themselves to blame for that. Not us.
Yep.
Well, they are to blame.
He's doing it not just on immigration, but he's doing it with the economy, too. And this might be the hardest one for a lot of people, the hardest pill for some people to swallow, which is our reliance on foreign countries, including China, and what that does for our intake as consumers. Are things going to be more expensive, or are we going to find manufacturing and jobs continue to grow? Is this the only path to prevent full offshore expulsion of companies, or are we going to have to try to find a way to bring it back into the United States and adapt to it? Because we're very good at adapting. So in the short term, you may find that there are some pains, but in the long term, you're going to have more jobs in a safer economy and a much more prosperous economy for the people that look at it and say, oh, my parents and my grandparents, they had it so much better. Oh, they had the same job for 50 years. They started working right out of high school without a diploma and they could afford a house and a car. And now they're rich because they have a house and they could afford one then. And they bought it for 2 pennies on the dollar. And, you know, they have all these different stories. Well, part of that was because we built things in America and we were able to rely on ourselves that way. to try to push it back in that direction. You want to talk about prosperity in the long run. That's how you do it. So we talk about immigration. We can talk about the economy. There's a lot of hard pills to swallow that we're going through those pains now. But in the long run, the philosophy and the strategy is good strategy. And I think it'll pay off. And it's kind of hard to see, but I think we're going to get there.
I agree.
All right. Coming up after the break, apparently over the weekend was the Catholic Woodstock, which kind of an interesting thing with the Pope. There's a big fascination with the America's Pope I wanted to talk about coming up. And something strange started happening in my life. I'm starting to see movies again. I went for probably, I don't know, 2, 3, 5, 10 years where I might see one movie a year. This summer, I've seen like 3 or 4 in the theater. I'm like, what's going on here? Why am I seeing so many movies? So I wanted to talk to you about that coming up, too. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox, 97.1 FM Talk. Ethan, did you pick this song intentionally, or is this by accident?
Fun fact, I don't get to pick the songs anymore.
Oh, you don't? Well, I don't know. That was a Carl thing, I guess. But it's funny because this is the song that South Park used when they brought all the religions together, when they did that giant, like... episode where it's like we need to bring Judaism and Catholics and Muslims together, and it's like they play this Van Halen song,
nice,
to kind of put them under the same bridge. And I thought that's why you played it, because Pope Leo had a youth jubilee and they called it the Catholic Woodstock over the weekend. They say that organizers there had been 800,000 people were seen at this Woodstock, Catholic Woodstock, and Pope Leo presided over the Mass in Rome to more than 1 million young people on Sunday, culminating of a pilgrimage that has drawn Catholics from across the world. That is a lot of people. He is, I think the strategy, at least for Catholics, is that if we bring an America Pope in, it's going to be the excitement we need to try to revitalize Catholicism in North America and in the United States, which has been dwindling. I mean, it definitely has. It's been, you know, churches and parishes, they can't keep open. They've been consolidating. Schools, same thing, consolidating. You're finding that it's not a growing religion, but when you get a little bit of excitement over it, maybe this is their ticket to try to bring people back in through the doors. I'm not a Catholic. You know, I grew up in Catholic school. Like, my parents sent me to a Catholic school. And part of the reason, I think, is the public schools where we lived were terrible. And I don't want to surprise anyone there, but there's a lot of terrible public schools. So my parents thought this was a little bit better option. But then again, back when I was there, because I'm, you know, a little bit older in the sense that today it's like, what, 10 grand a year to send a kid to a private school?
Yeah, sure. I know it's expensive.
10 or more. Back then, I think it was like, I don't know, $1,500 for the year. It was a lot cheaper, much more affordable. So I find that in today's Catholic schools, when I talk to people that go there, less than half actually are Catholic. They only use it for the education, and the nature for they don't have to go to a public school. I wonder if the resurgence in Catholicism is going to have any long-term positive ramifications if they bring someone in that has more traditional values and not more progressive values, as in we're going to inject ourselves into the middle of all of these woke things and say we need to sympathize with the woke and make it part of our identity, which we kind of saw with the last Pope a little bit. I wonder if Pope Leo is going to do not necessarily the opposite, but he's going to stand on traditional biblical Catholic values and lead the church back in the direction where it needs to be led to. And that could be part of its resurgence.
It seems like he's been a little bit at least more center than with Pope Francis. I feel like Leo has said things in the past that were clearly showing that he was not a fan of Donald Trump. But his brother, remember, who lives in Florida, I'm not saying this means much for him specifically with his political views, but his brother clearly supports Donald Trump.
Yep.
So that's kind of interesting. Yeah, we need it. You know, it was cool. There was a, I don't know if you've ever heard of Forrest Frank, but he's a Christian musician. I guess he sings kind of like hip hop. I'm not really sure how to describe it, but I really enjoy his music. And it's neat because he had broken his back recently, skateboarding, I think. And so he was in bed for like 2 weeks, and he came out with these two songs, I guess, since he's been bedded, had this broken back and been recovering. And one of the songs that he just released, called Lemonade, was number one in all genres, which is really cool.
Wow.
That a Christian song is number one. Because Ozzy Osbourne had a lot of his songs that had, you know, been surging just, you know, in light of his death. He topped all the Ozzy songs. I mean, it was really neat to see in that sense, you know, because people might be listening to that and not even realizing like, oh, this is actually a Christian artist and a Christian, you know, lyrics that talk about Jesus and things that you would typically not ever hear in mainstream music.
That's amazing. No, I haven't even heard of that song. I'm going to listen to it during the break now. What was the artist's name?
Forrest Frank. He has taken off.
Forrest Frank.
Forrest
okay.
Frank.
I wanted to talk about the movies a little bit too. And I saw Fantastic Four over the weekend.
How was that?
I saw Superman a couple of weeks ago. I saw F1 a couple of weeks before that. And the Naked Gun movies out there. And there's all these other movies that are coming up. And I kept thinking to myself, I don't remember the last time I was actually going to the movie theater. I think when I was younger, like in high school, it was the thing to do. Like, okay, got nothing to do. Let's go see the big blockbuster movie. And you and your friends would go see the movie. And that was just part of summer. And, you know, you get a little bit older. You have kids. You don't get out as much. And I might have seen one movie in the theater every other year. It was such a rarity for me to go to a movie theater. And then all of a sudden this summer, it's like, boom, 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 movie, movie, movie. I forgot how much I enjoyed that theater experience.
Well,
I think there's another
resurgence
going on.
They have the recliners, but it's very expensive. I mean, I'm not saying compared to some other things you could do, it's expensive. But if you're just going with, was it just you and your wife?
Yeah, just us.
So you probably spent, what, $13 a ticket? And then if you get food, that's like, what, $10 for like a popcorn and a soda or something
expensive.
Like that? Yeah.
Well, we go early. We don't go to these late ones.
Matinee.
So, I mean, I'm not that wild. I mean, get me
go to the 4 o'clock.
The theater we go to is a rundown community theater. It's got two screens, no luxury in it whatsoever. It's basically the movie theater you remember and probably a little bit worse. and the tickets are cheaper. I enjoyed Fantastic Four. I thought Superman was lame.
I heard that.
And I liked F1, the movie. That Brad Pitt one was good. But I thought, okay, I can get used to this, enjoying myself out there. And I don't know why that is the case. I just hated it for so long. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Don't go anywhere. I'm Ryan Ricker filling in 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.